You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
While I was in makeup that segment, I really was hoping to get Greg Cody's Homer thoughts on Tua Tagovailoa, but you guys were too busy singing Canadian national anthems. I saw Mike wincing the moment that Greg Cody and Amin decided to break like cardinal rule of this, which is do not under any circumstances, if you have a poor or shitty singing voice, begin to sing. Don't do that. But that was not the most offensive part of what I watched while I was in makeup. It was Greg Cody claiming he was at a game while on a cruise ship. Just being close enough to the game that it just absurd what it is that you said. Your initial, when they called you on saying,
right,
I was there for that.
Yeah.
And you just meant in the general vicinity of the country, not at the game.
Not even.
I double down on that. When you're on a cruise ship, you're in international waters, you are a citizen of the globe, and you are at liberty to say that you are whatever you're watching.
Not true.
That's the way that works. It's That's called international rule. Waters. I used to be a merchant marine. I know about these things. It's called international waters.
Yeah,
you're a global
waters,
citizen.
Not Brazilian
Dad, you
waters.
Only worked for the Miami Herald.
You're a global citizen.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You don't have another move other than mentioning that you just want to say again and again the phrase global
yeah,
citizen.
Yeah, I feel like that has such a gravitas.
Yeah, we just went right past. We skipped right past his allegation he was a merchant marine.
My dad does the same dumb joke. He says he was a dentist in the war. And I'm like, what war?
He may have been.
No, he wasn't.
No,
yeah.
No.
He's just
he
a dad.
He was not. Anyway.
Just a dad. He was a dentist in the war. My dad's Purple Heart happened because he fell off the back of a pickup truck, a jostling pickup truck, and broke his ankle.
We've tackled this on the Greg Cody Show. We're still unsure in our family. If my dad
There's
always
no
says that his dad
There's,
has a Purple Heart, yeah, I don't think he actually
it is
does.
A Purple There's Heart.
Uncle Dick could not confirm that.
It is the highest civilian honor. Your father does not have a Purple Heart.
Right. It's technically not a civilian honor.
You're totally
It's
full
one
of,
in military service.
Excuse me.
You got him
yeah,
there, Greg.
The highest military honor.
The problem is a lot of the early Purple Hearts that were won, the records of them have been lost because it was a terrible fire. I'm serious. You can look this up.
We've talked about this and stop telling us to look things up. Your family's got a fraudulent history in America of fighting for our country. Your father was a dentist in the war.
No, Amin's father was.
Stop with the Purple Heart.
Mine was a cook.
Bullshit.
Fell off a truck.
It's not bullshit.
Don't do this.
Dad won a Purple Heart.
Yeah, I mean, you're out there all day defending your country. You got a toothache. That is a necessary role.
You guys familiar with the term stolen valor? Greg Cody's trying to pull off a heist. Not just stolen, a heist of valor.
I put my hand on my heart and tell you that my father won a Purple Heart.
We've done this show. We've researched it. There's nobody in your family except you who claims this.
Wrong.
Dan, he put his hand on his heart. We have to believe
on my Purple Heart. No, my brother has tried to look this up.
And couldn't confirm it.
Because the records burned in a fire. The National Purple Heart Association, or whatever it's called, I don't mean to demean them by not being...
Put it on the poll, please. If you're claiming something is a lie, if you're claiming something that is a lie, is your next claim that it burned away in a fire?
Okay. At the risk of you saying, don't say, look that up, you can look that up.
I'm looking it up right now.
The National Purple Heart Association.
It's not what it's called.
Okay, and I apologize for that.
We've looked that part up, and the first thing we have looked up is that it's wrong.
Many of their records were burned in a fire. They're irretrievable.
Okay, so here we go. I'm on that site, and these are some of the conflicts that they have in their database. Boxer Rebellion, 1900. Civil War, 1861 to 1865. Dominican Republic, 1965. Korean War, 1950 to 1953. Lebanon, 1958 to 1984. You see where I'm going with this. Philippine Insurrection, 1899
to 1902. None of the wars that Wild Bill Cody, Dick Cody allegedly fought in?
I'm just saying that if we have records for people who fought in the Spanish-American War of 1898, there's no chance that the fire only affected
only the Cody family, yeah. Purple Heart.
My dad was in the big one, World War II.
1941, 1945, they've got that. Oddly enough.
Not all of them.
Dad, give it up, Dad.
Christopher, get Uncle Dick on the phone.
We're not doing this again.
Yes. We've already disproven this.
No,
just because you want to believe a family myth doesn't make the family myth true.
William Cody, is that his name?
It's Wilfred.
Wilfred A. Cody?
Wilfred Joseph. No. W.J.
I swear to God, there's a Wilfred A. Cody.
Well, Cody's a very common name, mostly in Canada, which I just disparaged.
Michigan.
No, that's not.
We're going to call Dick Cody. We're going to get an answer to this. Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be on with us at some point. I suppose we got to talk about this football game last night. Are you guys surprised that they booed Russell Wilson? I'm a little surprised by that. He kind of gave that team and that city a lot, you know?
Not surprised. Not after that ESPN profile that came out. He's a dick. Get him out of here.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean,
get him out of here.
Character assassination.
Well,
he displayed the behaviors of cornball.
You think that booing was from an ESPN article?
Well,
it was his choice to leave. He left.
He wanted out, which automatically in American sports, anytime someone wants out, everyone gets their feelings hurt. That's a baseline. But if you read that profile, I mean, it was extremely well done and very well researched. And a lot of there are a lot of issues they had issues with the way he was bucking against what the team wanted and what the team needed out of him. And he felt kind of like he was being held down by the system and by the team. So his exit, while we might think of it as like, it was a cool exit, it wasn't. It was some acrimony there.
In the bottom of that profile, in the small, small text, it actually talks about how Russell Wilson audibled out of a running play at the goal line to make himself the MVP.
Right? Like they had... There were several examples from the story where they talk about him making plays or changing plays, not for the betterment of, are we going to win this game or not, but because he wanted to look better. He wanted more yards, more stats.
Okay,
and he was the one actually letting Russ cook.
When someone exerts their power over an organization and a city to leverage a better deal for themselves, there's almost no way to do that well. And in The Escape, a lot of stories like that are going to emerge. We've been hearing that since the champion Seahawks had him at value, and the defense didn't like what a company man he was. And he, more than anybody there, was responsible for that champion breaking up because he went and got the value that he had earned at the position, but also that defense, which carried him with not Russell Wilson as champion leader, but Russell Wilson at value as champion leader, he was the last one standing. And then when it got bad, he also bailed. But I thought in winning a championship and being the best quarterback in Seahawks history, that the few details on whatever the acrimony is between loyalty to squad and quarterback who gave you many years and a championship, I thought the winning would exceed whatever selfish pettiness and humanity emerges there.
I knew the Legion of Boom didn't like him, and slowly but surely over time, Browner's gone, Sherman's gone, Bennett's gone, now Bobby Wagner's
Earl
gone.
Earl Thomas, Chancellor, yep. All of them. Yeah,
like the last stronghold was Bobby Wagner, then it's just basically Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. What I'm surprised at is I knew that the Legion of Boom had their issues with Russell Wilson. You watch the reaction from last night is that whole new slew of Seahawks did not like Russell Wilson either.
It is an issue when you are not only company man, guy who aligns with management as the leader of the players. The players don't have to be against management, but they don't want to think that they've got someone in their huddle who is just aligned with Pete Carroll, and therefore their stuff is not private player stuff, that he's on management side. Now you combine that with him having that power, him getting all the money, all the other guys not getting the money, and him being selfish on plays, whatever those details are, to bring himself the optics of glory. You combine all that stuff. Yes, there are poisons there. But again, I thought winning trumped that stuff. What was that? Greg, what was that sound? You can't drink coffee quietly?
I can't control this cup. I mean, I
you're literally controlling it.
I drink like any other man would. I go like this.
The cup is a sentient being. It's like you can't control it.
No.
And it has a mind of its own.
It controls him.
You said he's...
It audible at the goal line.
There you go.
Better.
Yeah, you said he's aligned with Pete Carroll. It probably goes higher than Pete Carroll. And if that Marshawn Lynch audible thing is true, then Pete Carroll's been swallowing a lot of shit on behalf of Russell Wilson.
That was my point. Like, how much more do we respect Pete Carroll now? He had to eat that shit sandwich for 7 years where everyone called him an idiot, a boob, for not giving it to the sure thing over there. And all along, it was Russell Wilson's fault. And every time, this man just took it. He just said, give me some more, yum, 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 of that shit sandwich. I was like, wow, if I were a player, I want to play for someone like that who's going to cover for me. But obviously, the moment I'm out the door, they're not going to cover for me no more.
The ally there as Pete Carroll, part of his job, I think, as head coach, it's one of the reasons he's a player's coach, is to eat that for years and years and years. And it's where Brady and Belichick broke up. Belichick would be perfectly comfortable being out there telling even Brady, nope, you're going to be held accountable. And I think it's interesting. I mean, you coming from the organizational perspective, the schism between where do I align? Do I align with the player or do I align with the organization, the organizational way? Is it bad leadership to give Russell Wilson the things that he wants when Russell Wilson at quarterback is producing for you a team that for 5 years was right at the top of always contending?
I mean, we don't have all the data to formulate an opinion. Like, if we're just learning about one of the more famous plays in Super Bowl history, right. We have no idea what is happening behind the scenes there, what Pete Carroll has had to swallow over the time there, what Russell Wilson is actually like with his teammates. We're just a bunch of hot takers just bloviating about stuff we have no idea about.
We're hot takers, gents. We hot take things.
No, you say that, but Mina Kimes, who's got information, emotion, and history wrapped up in this, she's going to join us a little bit later to actually give us an understanding of the mechanics of this. Because a champion did break apart at the center of his leadership. It won one championship and probably underachieved in doing so.
To be clear, you were surprised that he got booed last night.
I was surprised that he got booed last night because I don't expect fan bases that don't have very much sports or winning to be that hostile toward a champion. Whoa. That city doesn't have
79 Sonics would like a word.
Yeah, seriously.
I kind of
soccer town too.
I kind of flipped on it because I'm still learning about Russell Wilson's time.
Let me just finish this by saying, is Russell Wilson or is he not the most popular athlete in the history of Seattle sports?
No.
No.
I'm saying no.
No, I'd say Griffey Jr.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say the glove, Griffey, Rain Man, maybe. Well, Russell Wilson brought a championship there.
Sean Alexander.
Man, you guys are underestimating what it is for Seattle to win a championship Seattle never gets to win the championship.
He's not a kid.
Whichever Hasselbeck was there.
No, I won't disagree with you on Griffey, but I will not disagree with you on 90s Griffey, but still, Russell Wilson, in the history of that city, there is great emotion tied up in loving him.
He jilted them, though.
I was surprised by the booing. I was surprised. But then by the end of the game and after all the press conference, I kind of started understanding it a little bit better. I guess he doesn't give the media anything. So if he's just politicking behind the scenes, I understand like that huge, big release of emotion. It looks like a lot of people were protecting that image of Russell Wilson's.
David Wingate.
Let's talk for a second about how hard a secret that is to keep for that long.
What about Ichiro?
That's a good one, too.
Oh, that is a good one.
Randy Johnson.
The goal line.
Another good one. Sue Bird.
That's a really good one.
That's a good one, yes.
Mount Rushmore.
Can you guys?
Jamie Moyer.
Dave Craig.
Steve Largent.
Ooh, Largent's not bad.
A receiver from the 80s is going to be as popular, who was thrown to by Jim Zorn, is going to be as popular as a guy who was taking Seattle again and again toward the championship, a yard from two championships. Can you guys tell me how hard a secret that is to keep the goal line play?
Who's more popular, though, from that Seahawks team? Richard Sherman? Or Russell Wilson.
Or Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
You guys are to have to. You really are. Because I feel like there are a lot of people in this room right now who feel like they're experts on what Seattle sports is. Yeah, I am not one of them. So
we'll ask Mina all these questions. I'm going to write down Dan Wilson.
Edgar Martinez.
The reason that I'm stopping you guys on all of these others that you're offering, again, I'm going to remind you that he won a championship, and then the next step on that is you guys are now arguing on behalf of popularities that run exactly opposite to what Russell Wilson was trying to do publicly with his personality to gain favor. You're arguing to me that Seattle loves the authentic Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch better because they know that Russell Wilson was a guarded or hidden phony who was uninteresting or boring on purpose or boring just to make sure the headlines didn't come from his locker. But you're telling me that in never saying anything interesting other than his vitamin water cures concussions, that Russell Wilson's benign blandness gets in the way of him being as popular as the polarizing guys, Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch, who were not universally beloved.
Cortez Kennedy.
It's not that he's going out of the way to not say anything to be liked. He's kind of got that Dwight Howard thing going, that everything that he tries to do to be like, hey, look at me, I'm funny, is just like it lands on the wrong side of it. And like, oh, I would never want to be at a party with this guy.
Adrian Beltre.
He's a note off. There's a note off on, is that authentic? Is that interesting?
Mr. Unlimited.
He's
just so cringe. He's just a cringy. Anytime he tries to come off like inspirational or cool, it just...
But that is your viewpoint. You don't think that a fan base that, even a Seattle fan base, a cultural fan base that might be somewhat counterculture, you're telling me that you believe that the cringe factor, a personality, even as he's trying to sort of conceal his personality, buys you more hatred than from fans than winning a championship for a city buys you love from them.
Yeah, I think if you looked at the stadium shots, there were a lot of orange jerseys in that stadium. So the people that were there in their electric green jerseys felt very passionately. I mean, those boos were loud. And Russell Wilson does what he always does, which is run out on the field and high fives nobody. It's a very bizarre thing that he has going on. It's just, he's a goof. He's a goof. And when things aren't going well, you start hating the goof, despite their best intentions. It's just like, get out of here, man. It's like Toby from The Office. He's Toby from The Office.
I have a better one. Witty just made me think of this. He's the stepdad in Liar Liar. Yeah. He does the claw. He's a little bit Magoo. Yeah.
John Olrud.
The 12th man is loyal to the team, not to any one individual. And I think that's true throughout sports, and it depends on how you leave and who you piss off. If Aaron Rodgers leaves the Packers the wrong way, he is booed the first time he goes back to Lambeau.
Let me stop you. Is there a right way? Because you got to get out, right? So, Russell Wilson just got a monster deal. A deal that, I mean, I wouldn't have given it to him. I wouldn't have given him 7 years for that game last night. I don't know if that's what it's going to be, but 7 years at 200. I don't want to overreact to one game, but Russell Wilson running around and Geno Smith running around. There wasn't a huge disparity last night that anyone saw.
This is how juicy the storyline is, because there is so much to overreact to and just dissect from that game alone, including looking at that Russell Wilson contract. Even though his counting stats are fine, there was so much cause for concern, I thought, with just all the checkdowns that he was having, especially on that final drive. I have zero faith in what the Broncos are.
7 years, 7 years of the next 7 years of Broncos at quarterback combined with the last 15 years of all the bad things they've done at quarterback.
Tied to that coach, I mean, how many times do we have to see anybody from this Aaron Rodgers tree go out on their own and prove to be an absolute chicken shit? Like, unimaginative offense. You have Philbin, you have McAdoo. I'm going to throw McCarthy in there, LeFleur in there. They're all just tight butthole. They're just lemon booty during these final moments. And that is one of the most disastrous situations in terms of game management I have ever seen. And it wasn't just that moment. We can dissect the end of that game. Everybody's right. Guy's a dope. It was the entire game. Hurry up, offense. Hurry up, offense. All scattered, all scattered. Wait till the clock is at 12. Look to the sideline for the play. It was the entire freaking game. Think of the one camera shot we saw 80% of the time. Russell Wilson looking to the sideline like, what is happening? Give me a play. He checks down on 3rd and 14. Were they playing for the field goal? He wasn't at all on the same page. He had Jerry Jeudy wide open.
One of the most exciting guys in that situation for the last 10 years. Russell Wilson going down the field is not settled for a 65-yard field goal on 4th and 5 because your sphincter's tight.
But, Dan, you always come in here on a Monday and be like, well, if a couple bounces went this way. If a couple bounces at the 1-yard line, Denver got to the 1-yard line twice and ended up with 0 points. They fumbled at the 1-yard line twice. If those are easy touchdowns, which they should be, they score 30. Russell Wilson goes into Seattle, puts on a good performance, good statistical performance, and they've won a game by 2 scores. I'm surprised the degree to which we're talking about this being a failure of performance of Russell Wilson rather than, I mean, yeah, the late game situation is going to get scrutinized because it was disastrous, but the game had been decided long before that when they can't convert twice inside the 5-yard line.
It's a good point. Melvin Gordon does have a lot of that in his history where he goes for the goal line and he fumbles right there.
And then everyone's having to go, like, bring in Javonte Williams, and he came in and fumbled. Well,
their red zone offense was disastrous, but like even Russell Wilson missed a lot of throws. Throws that he got bailed out on, an interception in the end zone that was flatly dropped. He drew a DPI on a ball that he just flatly missed the mark on. He was not good yesterday. The stats will bear out because he had a huge chunk play to Jerry Jeudy, who seems like a dynamite talent. But I'm telling you, there's cause for concern. And I really want someone that knows what they're talking about. Hopefully Mina can help us actually break down how many times he checked down out of a wide open throw downfield. I'm worried about the Denver Broncos. And does Zach coach inspire confidence to you? He looked like so in over his head. He was a deer in the headlights the entire game. They had three timeouts. They had a 3rd and 14. There was a 1:14 left on the clock. They didn't run another offensive play.
Terrible.
They didn't run another offensive play, and they didn't get to get the ball back. It's a riddle.
That left front.
Were you guys watching the Manning cast? Peyton Manning, when they wasted those 30 seconds, Sharp was on too. Manning, he started very slow. He's like, I like a timeout here. And then he's like, yeah, maybe call a timeout. Timeout. By the end, he's like,
he's getting furious.
Gesturing. And Shannon Sharp it was bad.
I've got a nice little lane now with the Manning cast because I just digest the clips online because Monday Night Football is so much better with Buck and Aikman, even though they were kind of protecting the relationships too. I mean, white Jay-Z should have had a go at Hackett. I don't know what he was doing by just like being super calm and super kind to Nathaniel Hackett during that disastrous. You need to be screaming. What are they doing?
That's always something that makes those situations better and creates these bonfires on social media when one of these broadcasters give the outraged permission for their outrage by turning up the volume. And of course, Manning, of course, Peyton's on another channel every wasted second making his asshole catch fire. Like every wasted second is him. Is him for 30 seconds. What is happening under his seat is just a rabid fire ant attack on the entirety of his ass. He's so mad with every second that's left. That's lost.
Sterling Hitchcock.
You're a writer.
How pissed do you think he was watching Nathaniel Hackett? I want. And this is not what you're getting, unfortunately. You're getting a version of the rehearsed Peyton Manning quarterback. I want Peyton Manning, who's in his living room, saying what he really thinks of Nathaniel Hackett because he's not worried about any consequences.
If only.
Screaming curses because of how stupid. Troy Aikman, Mike, I don't think of him as highly critical. I know Troy Aikman in the last 10 years has gotten more and more opinionated. I know that Troy Aikman has been willing to say publicly that he's hurt by Fox not making an offer to him or negotiating or anything. But I don't think of Troy Aikman as the guy in that situation who's going to start screaming, this is moronic. This is an egregious, offensive late game situation from the Denver Broncos.
They've had a lot of big moments on their game of the week in Fox. And I've never thought Troy Aikman to be one to withhold his opinions in that situation. I honestly thought they were genuinely confused. And if you watch SportsCenter after, where Buck and Aikman had the time to digest what happened, Buck especially, like, they were pretty opinionated about how badly that thing was botched. I genuinely think, like we all were watching it at home, they were really confused. Buck actually explained the process because they went to a shot of Aikman and Joe Buck to kind of set up the final act of this game. Because they were assuming that a timeout would be called and we'd have a dramatic fourth down play because that's what you do in that spot. And all of a sudden the kicker started running out on the field and Joe Buck was so confused by it that they couldn't actually apply like the logic of like, oh my God, what the hell is happening?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me. I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there. And I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Libertard.
I feel like we need to normalize saying the scientific terms for organs on the air.
Penis?
If someone, yes, you know what, if someone takes a foul ball to the penis, we should just say he took a foul ball to the penis.
Stugatz,
that free kick hit him right in the cock-a-doodle-doo.
This is the Don Libertar Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Let's go to somebody who is better at late game situations with more expertise than we have. a fan favorite by any measure, Ryan Fitzpatrick with us. Greg Cody, I know we enjoyed this portion of the Dolphin experience when he would come in. He's a part of Amazon's coverage, and we're happy to have him on with us. Got some questions about your career, Ryan, and thank you for joining us. But if you heard any of what Mike was railing against, just your expert opinion on what we can expect to get on Amazon from Ryan Fitzpatrick on that late game situation last night.
Yeah, that one was really tough to watch. And, you know, I was sitting there. I was actually screaming at the TV at Buck and Aikman because they had showed earlier Russell Wilson run off the field, and he was doing his little clap. Like, he was like, okay, let's make this field goal. And then there was no reference to it. And I think everybody was in such disbelief to see McManus run out there on 4th and 5 for the timeouts not to be taken. And then my biggest question, too, I don't know if it was talked about after, was why the timeouts were being taken on the kneel downs. I don't know if he thought they had another one or what was going on there, but it was obviously probably not the right situation, but a botched situation for Denver and a botched opportunity.
I want to talk to you about some of the stories in your career. Can you give me one? Aaron Rodgers tells a great story of Kyle VandenBosch chasing him and just screaming, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. Do you have some cocktail party story that Ryan Fitzpatrick tells about some guy being just a lunatic on the other side of the ball and chasing you around?
I mean, I could say there's a few times I've feared for my life while being on the football field. And one of them was always Fletcher Cox. It was just some of the stuff that was said and the look in his eye. It was just, you know, being intimidated on the football field wasn't really something that happened a whole lot. But, you know, when he was like hitting me or laying on top of me, the sweet nothings that he was whispering into my ear always got me going a little bit.
Well, put us there. You line up, and is it the night before you're thinking about Fletcher Cox? Is he snorting? You know how strong he is. He's coming right up the middle. What's he doing? What's he saying? Give us a little bit.
I don't know if it's about what he's saying more than the manner and the anger in which he's saying it. For, you know, to be able to see the steam coming off of his head and out of his nostrils. It's one of those things where the night before when you're having your team meal, you sit with the linemen, you get them the extra dessert if you want it, you're really nice to them, and just casually mention, hey, let's make sure we block Fletcher tomorrow.
Does Ryan Fitzpatrick, having played so many years, have any kind of recurring football dream that actually creeps into his sleep or nightmare?
I don't, and I'm surprised that it's taken me this long in this interview to mention it, but I went to Harvard, and I don't know if you guys know that or not. I still, to this day, have dreams about... Look at me,
No, we shouldn't have done that to you. The timing was terrible. We're so interested in being Look at Me Louis ourselves that we didn't even get to your story. We just interrupted it. Play it for him again. Look at me, Louis. All right, now tell your story. You went to Harvard, and what happened?
You know, it's over now, guys.
We ruined it. No, you deserve that, Mike. You deserve that.
I will
that.
Not apologize.
We don't get that story now. He was going to give us a good story about what his recurring dreams are like, or nightmare. It's late to class or something, isn't it?
Yeah, well, maybe I'll tell it Thursday night. All right.
You can find Ryan Fitzpatrick as part of the Prime Video Thursday night football team. It kicks off Thursday. What's going to be different about the way you do it, Ryan? Because you've always been a fun personality. You seem to enjoy what it is you're doing a great deal, except when you're wearing a Jets uniform. What are we going to get from you?
I think for me, and the reason that this was such a unique opportunity for me. Hey, it's Thursday night and it's something new. You know, Amazon is, I think it's the first time since Fox in 94 that a new network or way to watch football is happening for the NFL. So to be a part of that from the ground up really excites me. And then the crew I'm working with, Carissa Thompson, Tony Gonzalez, and Richard Sherman. I mean, Sherm has been a lot of fun so far just to go back and forth with. I think, I just have a unique perspective, having played on 9 teams in 17 seasons and seeing it all kinds of different ways. You know, the relationships that I have, the things I'll be able to tap into because of those relationships and my perspective, I'm hoping that viewers find it very interesting.
Ryan, what would you identify as the most fun you had? One season, one team.
The beginning of the year, Buffalo. It's funny because it's never been a whole season. Beginning of the year, 2011, Buffalo. You know, the beginning of the year in Tampa when I was playing for Jameis. And then, you know, a surprising one, but it really, it's true. 2019, that back half of the year in Miami, you know, the team that was supposed to be the worst team in football ever assembled that was 0-7. You know, for us to finish 5-4, we had a lot of fun those last 9 weeks.
Can it now be said that Brian Flores loved you and hated Tua?
Well, I actually, before I get yelled at by Brandon Marshall and Nick Mangold, have to throw in the 2015 season, just the first 16 weeks, not week 17 of the Jets. That was a great time, too.
Brian, who was the quarterback that...
Cody.
What?
Cody.
Greg didn't even care.
Cody, hold on a second, and don't let him wiggle away from the question I just asked
him. Okay.
Eurostep
follow-up.
What was the question? I don't even remember what you said.
It must have been a good one.
Go ahead, ask yours, Greg.
No, go ahead. Yeah, yours was so good, it demands a follow-up, apparently.
Greg wasn't listening either.
You want to ask my question for me?
No, it's only you could ask it. I mean, it was so perfect.
Did Brian Flores indeed love you and hate Tua?
I mean, I don't know. He benched me. We beat San Fran 43-17, and then we beat New York 24-0, and then I got benched. So I don't know that, you know, there was a huge love affair with me.
What was the benching that you thought was most unfair? Was it that one?
Yeah, I think in my career that was the one where, you know, I just kind of scratched my head a little bit. The team that I felt like we had, the way that we had performed the last year going into that year, and kind of the role we had gotten on, that one, you know, I knew. Look, and I talked about this a ton, but it's like they drafted Tua. I knew Tua was going to be the guy at some point, but there was just no reason to insert him into the lineup at that point.
Ryan, there was about a two-week stretch where internet sleuths discovered an old clip of Tom Brady alluding to a mother that was playing over him in a certain location. For 2 weeks, the internet was convinced you were the mother Tom Brady was referring to, until 2 weeks later, it was discovered, no, maybe the mother was Derek Carr. What were those 2 weeks like where you were the mother that Tom Brady was referencing?
I think I still am that guy. But you know, if you go back to that again, that's before the 2019 season where the Dolphins are trying to, you know, assemble a roster that is going to help them get a better draft pick the next year. So it's not like that was going to be an attractive situation for Tom anyway. So I'm not sure what the, you know, why he was so upset about it. But I still to this day believe that I am that mother.
Were you insulted by that, hurt by that, or you just sort of shrug your shoulders and say, well, he has been beating me in the division for about 18 years, so maybe I am that mother.
Yeah, I try to get my wife to make a few T-shirts so I could wear them around. We were just trying to figure out with all the kids around which letters to blank out.
It sounds like you're more offended at the thought of you not being the mother being the mother.
I like it. It's a good nickname. It's a good nickname.
Ryan, was there ever a point in your long career where you were more frustrated than you were backing up Tua? Was there another quarterback where you looked at it and said,
well, Jets,
wow, I should be sorry?
No, his Jets experience was pretty damn terrible.
Well, my Jets experience in 2015 was, you know, fantastic. My Jets experience in 2016 was not. It was a tale of two different seasons. But it's not, you know, 2016, a lot of that I can look at myself and say, man, I played horrible. So that wasn't something to where, you know, I had a hand in the fact that I wasn't playing. I didn't play well that year. Whereas, you know, other particular years, it maybe wasn't that way.
Stugatz is bombing in here from his daughter's dorm room because he's been waiting for this conversation forever. He's been wanting to ask Ryan Fitzpatrick a question for a better part of a year now. Stugatz, investigative journalist, you want to have at Ryan Fitzpatrick here?
Yeah, Ryan, so there were several reports last year. Now, granted, these reports came from callers into a Washington, D.C. sports radio station that you had hurt yourself last year before the season on a water slide. And I think that's like, listen, you probably shouldn't be doing that right before the NFL season if indeed these rumors are true. And so I just want to either find out if they're true or put the rumors to bed. Were you indeed, did your career end on a water slide?
No, I got hurt in a game. I think everybody saw that. But I don't know. That's, you know, I'm now part of it. I'm now part of the media. But I think we all, and you probably already knew the answer to that question. So I know it's funny and light, but now, you know, you give a rumor some more breath, but it's silly and it doesn't make sense. And no, that never happened.
How does Ryan Fitzpatrick attack a water slide? Is it
head first
on the belly? How's this one working?
we can move on to something else.
Okay.
Way to go, Stugatz.
The guy's been playing forever, and that's the line that you cross with your water flume buffoonery.
And you had to pissed off that mother.
He just no commented us on the water flume.
You also had to give your opinion that you shouldn't be on a water slide over there. Yeah. Like,
especially the big bowl right before the season, the big bowl water slide. Dangerous
this is
game.
Where you fouled it up. Fitzpatrick, you were shirtless at a Bills game recently. You have no cares. You are like why is that the line?
I'm glad we're not on Zoom right now. I'm glad it's just on air. But look, I mean, it's not the line. It's just giving, you know, you guys are, this is like a gotcha, like, you know.
No, we have some crazy no, right.
That we're gonna give,
I swear
give
it's not.
Like,
no.
It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Sorry, Ryan. We were not meaning to offend you. We didn't know that we were hitting a sensitive spot. We were just fooling around.
Thank you.
Okay. We will let you go on that note. Our apologies, Ryan. We did not mean to foul up what was otherwise a fun interview. Our apologies for Stugatz being here for a couple of seconds, asking a question on behalf of the audience and offending you. We did not mean to do that.
All right. Have a good day, guys.
All right.
Great efficiency by Stugatz.
Wow.
Stugatz, I mean, like.
I mean, that's surgical. A hard-hitting journalist.
That's like a uncomfortable laser. Moment nominee.
A nominee. Lock it in.
Yeah, seriously.
He Rick. Says that he wishes he'd seen us on Zoom. Look at me. Let that be the awkward moment that goes viral. I'm always looking for one of those. Let that be the awkward one that goes viral. Levitard show offends Fitzpatrick with water flume question as Levitard is dressed as a, well, I'm not going to tell Amin and Greg Cody what I'm dressed as because they don't know.
It's show enough, right? From Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon.
It's a great reference. His reaction to that. Is Stugatz right?
A little sensitive. I got to be honest.
It hit a nerve.
Jesus. It's a water slide question.
Stugatz came in accusatory.
You came in hot,
You had to get the take in. You can't be doing that before the season. You had to take it one extra note.
There's a way to ask that. The way that you do it, Stugatz, is you set up. He's like, last year you were the victim of like these really reckless speculative rumors. And this year Tom Brady got some of that. People were saying, hey, look, he's on the Masked Singer. Like, which do you think was more ridiculous? You like on the water slide or the Tom Brady Masked Singer situation? Mm-hmm. You soften it.
Easy when you're armed with hindsight, Billy. Thanks.
That one's a bummer. That was going so well. I thought we made a friend.
Yeah.
We called him a mother and he was laughing.
He was laughing.
That was the weird part for me that we because the Brady that mother. I know what Billy was saying is like he sounds like he's proud of being that motherfucker, but really that quote is like that bum basically is what motherfucker means in that context that Brady was using it, but he was really with it. So I'm like, okay, this guy pokes fun at himself, having fun. So for the idea of him to be like, It wasn't even the Stugatz question. It was when Dan kind of clarified, he was just like, next question. I was like, whoa. That's what I was like, that's the line? That's what we're saying.
He gave us such thoughtful answers to the Tua question and the Brady question. He didn't have to continue with his own opinion that, no, I actually think that Brady was gunning for the Dolphins the entire time. And he was actually expanding and giving more fuel to the fire that was that tampering thing. And it just went so wrong at the end.
That was like a roller coaster at the end with like a big drop. We were flying, we were moving good, having fun. And then a big drop at the end, really quick.
The water slide.
Big drops happen in the beginning. That's a fine.
It's not true.
It is true. There's never a big drop at the end of a roller coaster. Never. Never. It's always like this weird,
what a
stupid,
weird stance to like.
I'm gonna die on this hill. I'm like a
in
dog
a mean
with a bone
defense,
on
it's the first major drop.
There you go.
Do the original climb, and then it's the first major drop. Wow. He's right about
there
that.
There is Thank a secondary drop. Mountain. There's a secondary drop sometimes, and then like at the end, sometimes you'll pick up speed on like a little curves. You know what I mean?
But
like
never a big drop.
I was just trying to make a stupid analogy, okay? You guys don't have to.
No, no, it's fine.
Let's do you think we're those motherfuckers to him now? Like, he got off the phone like, those
mother. Let's re-examine this for a second, because we were just instigators for the first time since that Tafoya interview of gotcha journalism. Accused us of gotcha journalism as Stugatz bombed in for the first time in 2 days to ask a single question. He was just sitting on the Zoom waiting to ask a single question.
For
Stugatz,
2 days.
Stugatz, in the history of our show, there has rarely been such an efficient torpedoing of something that was going well.
Like a drone strike.
So proud of
it was like a drone strike. Stugatz is in a room thousands of miles away.
Stugatz actively playing defense against the show, having fun from afar.
Looked on the screen, had a little joystick, hit a button, and then all you see is just clouds.
I would like to further deconstruct what happened there. Have we forgotten how to conduct a phone interview? Because I feel like if Ryan Fitzpatrick saw how much Stugatz has aged recently and just saw the smile on his face, or Dan, he would have realized, hey, this is all coming from let's continue having fun with the internet. We're just joshing around here. But he didn't have that, and you had the super awkward pause on the landline. I forgot what that felt like.
Yeah, very uncharacteristic. Right?
I'm not exonerating us here. This is a man who had a season, his last in the NFL, not feel like the dismount that he wanted from the NFL, and probably gets blamed for ruining a Washington season. So he's sensitive in that spot in a locker room where he's supposed to be a leader, and he probably doesn't appreciate, well, obviously doesn't appreciate us being flippant.
Well,
about
that's
it.
Clear, but I think he actually thought that maybe Stugatz was lecturing him. Like, listen.
He was lecturing him. What do you mean?
He thought Stugatz was legitimately hot taking. When Stugatz
well,
was
he just
doing,
said I was.
But Stugatz was just doing shtick. He was doing Stugatz. He didn't know. He thought he was like legitimately criticizing him.
Stugatz was never good with consequences.
Also, wait, like Stugatz doing shtick? His whole life is shtick.
Right, and he doesn't ever have to suffer consequences. Stugatz, can you explain?
Well, listen, this is the character we've carved out on the show, and it's a fantastic one where I could just sit a million miles away, ask a single question, get in, get out, and Dan has to deal with the consequences
Perfect.
Of my buffoonery.
In the defense of journalism here, Stugatz did ask the question that people have been wondering for a long time and wasn't too concerned with the ramifications.
Yes, had to be asked.
We asked a lot of tough questions, and we found a way to not offend Ryan Fitzpatrick. By the way, you can watch Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. Yeah. Prime Football this Thursday. We got a good one.
Oh, man.
Chiefs, Chargers.
Do you think now, like, our Amazon Prime packages won't arrive quite on time because we've angered Amazon?
They listen to everything.
Oh, my God. Alexa's, like, making a note of it. Those mother bleepers.
Guillermo, please put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Are you surprised at all that Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't get offended by anything until Stugatz showed up?
Rick Myra.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think. about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.